This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, and good morning. Welcome to another fantastic Monday edition of The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7 AM 1340. As always, go over to fanrunradio.com. You can click the live link at the top, listen to the live stream. If you want to follow with us and see our smiling faces this morning, you can follow our Periscope at Facebook Live and at Twitter Live, and the name is at Fox Sports Knox. And as always, we got an app. If you like apps, you can take us wherever you may travel. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 with you for the next couple hours right here. Hey, back from the weekend. Pretty good weekend of sports stories that happened. A lot of headlines, a lot of things to get to today. Approaching fall camp for the Tennessee Vols. Also, we'll get to our NFL preview again today. Today is the AFC South. We waited for this Monday to go ahead and get into that. We know we got a lot of Titans fans listening. So, we'll get right into it. How are you guys doing? GP?
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm okay. Had a good weekend, but woke up this morning and I can't really close my right hand. I don't know if I pinched a nerve in it or what, playing golf over the weekend. But, like, my hand hurts pretty bad, so I'm going to go to the doctor after we get done today.
Oh, man.
You got some weird ailments. Can't hear, can't close hands.
That's just my right hand. But yeah, like, I mean, it just, like, about right there is as far as I can go without it hurting.
Interesting.
Mm. Well, Charlie, how are you? You able-bodied?
Yeah.
You got on your Hawaiian shirt today.
Yeah, I do. Doing pretty good. Not pleased this morning with America. We just lost in baseball in the knockout stage to Japan.
Yep.
Like 3 minutes ago.
I saw them playing the other day. Was that Bobby Cox who's the manager?
There's no way. There's no way because he's not healthy enough.
Okay.
No.
It was some other old white guy.
Well, we blew the lead in the ninth and then got walked off in the tenth.
Mm.
So I believe that means we are eliminated now, maybe?
Sounds like Braves baseball. Blowing it in the ninth and losing in the tenth.
Oh, no. Oh, it was Edwin Jackson that got the loss.
Oh, no, Edwin.
Like, isn't he like 40-something at this
point? I thought he's pretty old.
I loved Edwin. He pitched for the Nats for a little bit.
He pitched for a lot of teams.
Yeah, but
journeyman.
On the flip side, though, USA beat Mexico last night.
Yeah, CONCACAF.
So.
I was going to get there. Our women's soccer team also lost this morning.
Oh, they did. They did. Lost to Canada,
and they're
right?
Eliminated.
They're going to get the bronze now, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, what a terrible, terrible showing.
It was.
I don't think they should ever run their mouths again after they show up and get bronze.
Yeah, they didn't really back it up. That story for another day. Came up short in the Olympics.
Kind of hilarious, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like a group of people who are upset and then another group who are kind of
like
happy.
Charlie.
Like, yeah. At the end of the day, I don't think they're good people. So, I mean, I think it's kind of hilarious.
They're not good people.
I like Carly Lloyd.
But
I don't know if I'd say they weren't.
I mean,
good
like,
people.
I'm not rooting against them because at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to root against my country. But, you know, I'm not devastated either, I guess.
To be honest, I haven't watched a single women's soccer match during the Olympics, so If you wouldn't have told me, I wouldn't have known they lost.
I just get the notifications on my phone. I was watching the baseball this morning, though. I'm really disappointed we lost in baseball. I love Olympic baseball, even though I wish that they still were able to have better rosters.
Do it like the NHL used to do and just take a Olympic break. Yeah. So you can send your best players over.
I mean, imagine how crazy the Olympics would be with, like, the Dominican Republic with their best players.
And we haven't had a World Baseball Classic in, what, 4 years, 5 years, something
like
that?
It's been a while.
Yeah. I mean.
And even those aren't the best teams, like aren't fully the best.
Yeah. I mean, Tanner,
the one that we won two times ago, like, Tanner Roark was pitching in the semifinals for Team USA. So, like, still not the best teams. I wish that we could just get a baseball event where you legitimately had the best players from a country representing it. I like those would be such crazy teams.
I feel like the World Baseball Classic tries to do that, but
yeah, I mean, like, they'll get close. Like, you'll have good players.
That takes place in, like, February, though, and I feel like a lot of players just don't want to start their routines that early. Because, well, I mean, that's before spring training even
most
starts.
Players are playing through the off season. Or, like, at least, not most, but, like, a good amount go and play winter baseball in the Dominican or, you know, in other Central American countries and stuff like that. But,
outside of that, what else is bothering you?
That's pretty much it.
That's it.
I actually had a great weekend. I got moved in. I went to the zoo.
First time going to Knoxville Zoo.
Yeah, I've been trying to go to the Knoxville Zoo for 5 years now. I finally got to go.
It was pretty cool.
I was blown away. Why does Knoxville have such a great zoo? It feels kind of like a random place to have a zoo of such high quality.
That's nice.
I mean, I've been to the Nashville Zoo over 100 times probably.
You can even drink there.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been to the Nashville Zoo over 100 times, DC Zoo a bunch. I've been in the Chicago Zoo and several others. And legitimately, the Knoxville Zoo is my favorite zoo I've ever been to.
Wow.
I thought the selection of animals was great. You know, they got a lot of those big-ticket items. And, you know, I really enjoyed talking with the zookeepers there. I learned a ton about beavers yesterday.
Mm-hmm. They're building an ark there.
They finished the ark.
They finished it?
I was in the ark.
Last time I was there, they were still building it. So
yeah. Nice. I was in the ark yesterday. That was nice. Nashville Zoo does have a much better reptile house, though. I will say that. That's where they got
the reptiles
Knoxville beat.
Great.
But, I mean, and the exhibit designs were great. Like, really cool exhibit designs. And it, you know, some of the interactiveness with it. You know, Linger Landing. You know, the bear cave. The chimpanzees and gorillas. Just a lot of great stuff. Like, I was genuinely very happy.
How much time did you spend there, like, at the zoo in total?
4 hours.
It's a good amount of time. Yeah.
I like to, you know, I read the stuff. I ask questions. I talk to the zookeepers. I listen to them do stuff. Really enjoy it. We ate there.
I'd like to go to the zoo. I love zoos, but I just don't usually
Huge fan
go.
Of zoos. When I was a little kid, I had a membership to the Nashville Zoo, and we would go at least once a month, maybe twice a month, sometimes even three. And every time I went, for some reason, I always saved the zoo map. And then one day, I had hundreds and hundreds of zoo maps just, like, saved away in my room, it felt like.
It's a zoo in Nashville, what, at Grassmere?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a zoo that's come a long way. They're improving a lot. They were a very young zoo. But they got lots of plans. They're working on it, getting more of those big ticket items. Yeah,
that zoo's pretty old.
No, I mean, like, I guess it's not like a young zoo. I guess it was like a young. There was something new about it because I remember we went through it, or maybe it was new ownership or something. But I was talking to someone when we were the members, and they would send out like the, you know, whatever else what we're trying to do.
Doing some like expansion and remodeling or
renovations,
because like I know they had that zoo when I was very young and went to it for the first time. But yeah, Knoxville Zoo is pretty good job. I'm glad you went about the town and learned more about your community. I had a pretty good weekend, can't complain. Kind of Saturday, went out, tried some new eateries around town that I hadn't had, a pool day, so I feel pretty good. It was a nice weekend. Yesterday we had some nice weather too. Thought it was going to be storming, but it was nice all day. And ready for the week. We got football coming up on Thursday. Yesterday was our last Sunday without football, NFL football, until February.
Well, technically, there's not football this Sunday. It's the last week.
Last week, excuse me. Last week. But, yeah, last Sunday.
Wait, there's football this week.
On Thursday.
It's on Thursday. Yeah. He misspoke. He said,
I said Sunday.
Last it'll be
Sunday
the last without Sunday football. Without football.
The last week without football.
1991 for the until Nashville February. Zoo, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, in terms of zoo, it's pretty new still.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm pretty excited. We got football. Fall camp this week. Lots to talk about. Storylines there. We even got some Tennessee recruits that might be heading to the Hill. Some prospects. We'll be watching for that today. I know GP3 was telling us some app that we need to go ahead and download to get ready for that. We also got a lot to talk about NBA. A lot of moves happened there.
Trade deadline.
The trade deadline. A lot of things to get to. A lot of people who had debuts over the weekend and on Friday did pretty well with their new respective teams. So lots of things to get to. Without further ado, let's go ahead and take a quick break. Come back on the other side and let's get into it. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. The Blitz rolls along right here, FM 105.7, AM 1340, WKGN. Chance, Charlie, and GP3. Let's go ahead and get to some news from the Hill. Tennessee's top target, four-star, the 2022 class, offensive lineman Addison Nichols, will be announcing his commitment today. Should be about 1 o'clock, so I think there's also going to be some type of early announcement on some other app, but he's supposed to announce today at 1 on the CBS Sports HQ app. 6'5", 318 pounds. It's a big, beefy boy. He'll be choosing between his three finalists. His three finalists were Tennessee, Ohio State, and North Carolina. So this will be a huge get for Tennessee. A guy out of Georgia who's received offers from about 30 other schools, also named the top five in April, that also consisted of Georgia and Florida and USC on that list. All of those schools hosted him on official visits last month, and then, like I say, named down his three finalists to North Carolina, Ohio State, and Tennessee. He's the number 107 overall prospect in the country. What are you doing over there? Number 3 interior offensive lineman in the 2022 class, and the number 12. Prospect out of the state of Georgia. So Tennessee continuing to do work as they always have in the state of Georgia. Big get, though. Both of the predictions on 247 Sports Crystal Ball point to Tennessee as the favorite to land Nichols. So this would be a huge get for Josh Heupel and his staff. What do we think about that? It looks like Heupel's doing a pretty damn good job.
You know, I think Heupel's definitely picked up, you know, a lot of
picked
momentum.
Picked up a little steam.
He's picked up a lot of momentum in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Now, you know, is this class anything close to being special? No. You know, it's filled out with more 3-stars than you'd ever really like to see. But, you know, you're certainly starting to draw the attention of some of these bigger names and you know, maybe get a commit here, a commit there. Absolutely. And I think the momentum will continue to build as you get into the season. And if Heupel can show some sort of positive signs, you know, with the offense looking like something that can be successful long term and be competitive, if he can show, you know, that the defense can create some turnovers and play pretty hard, then, you know, you can really start to even get recruits to invest in the program and pick up some more momentum.
Yeah, I think so, too. I was a little worried about how he's going to be able to recruit here in the SEC. I think a lot of people were, but he's doing a pretty good job so far, like you said, picking up a lot of steam, a lot of momentum. Nichols came – he also, to note, he did receive a early offer from Pruitt and his staff, but he said Tennessee remained a priority, and it was beyond my expectations, quote. They were fantastic. They were really, really, really great people when he spoke of Heupel and his staff. He said his official visit in June helped to, quote, reassure my thoughts on the staff, and he came away feeling even better about the Vols, largely because of Heupel's staff. I already knew they were great people. Being able to meet them and see them in person, see that in person, and see them being even better people in person, it was definitely very reassuring on that topic. Heupel gets a lot of credit for his, I guess, like being personable. It seems like that is key for players on staff right now, and that's what we continue to hear from prospects. Just the way he's very personable, you know, I guess his relationships, his rapport with some of these prospects and these recruits, he's really he's earned a name for himself early on as a first-year head coach. What do you think about that, GP3?
I know it's got to be tough for him in year one, mm-hmm. especially with the sanctions looming. Don't really know what's coming of that yet, but it's looking like it might not be as bad as we initially thought. But coming into this situation, it wasn't going to be easy. And I know there's plenty to be disappointed about. We've missed out on some high-profile guys, but considering the circumstances, I think he's done a pretty fair job. Like, you can't really criticize him for what he's done to this point. And like you said, he's making it feel like a family, which is something I don't think the last two or three coaches have done. They were more business-oriented. Butch wanted everything to look good on the outside, even though there were plenty of problems coming from the inside. And then Pruitt was just a mess all the way around. I mean, he was getting the big names during recruiting, but, I mean, it just never panned out to anything. I mean, he was cheating and not winning. But considering everything going on.
Bad at cheating.
Yeah. Considering everything going on, I think Heupel's done more than a fair job. I think once he takes the field, because I think his offense is going to be, you know, fun to watch. I think some recruits are going to see that and be like, yeah, I want to be a part of that offense. I think that'll definitely help out recruiting too. And then don't forget, Walter Nolan's still out there too.
Yep, right down the street, that pal. So that would be a big get too if Heupel's able to land Walter Nolan. Hey, and on Sunday, yesterday, it was the first day that schools were allowed to send official offers to high school and junior college prospects for the 2022 class. And Tennessee, like other programs, distributed offers to most, if not all, of the high-priority prospects that they are recruiting. This comes from 247 Sports. I got a couple to run through right here. Tennessee official, and most of these guys announced on their Twitter or Instagram. Joshua Josephs, the 2022 edge rusher. I can't speak today. Edge rusher from North Cobb High School in Kennesaw, Georgia. There's another Georgia prospect. He plays defensive end and linebacker. Is one of Tennessee's Tennessee is one of his top college choices since getting the scholarship offer. The Vols have hosted him twice during the month of June. He also has offers from Michigan, Kentucky, Penn State, and Auburn. 6'3", 215 pounds, but he got his official scholarship offer. He announced via Twitter. Also, another one, defensive back, his teammate actually at North Cobb, Andre Stewart. He has been committed to Kentucky for about 5 months, but Tennessee appears one of the biggest threats to the Wildcats. He also came on a couple visits last month, but a former Auburn commitment. Tennessee is kind of up on his radar now. That's another name to watch out for. Also, offensive lineman Masai Reddick. He comes from Detroit. He was in Tennessee for Rocky Top Palooza. So there's another big name to watch out.
Rocky Top Palooza.
Rocky Top Palooza. I don't have any star values on any of these guys. Their rankings just going through the guys that have official offers. Also, Vincent Sneed. And he is out of Winter Park High School in Florida.
That name sounds really familiar. Is he already committed?
Vols extended an offer to him on February 19th. And let's see. He initially planned to announce his decision on May 19th, the day of his spring game, before choosing to move up his announcement. He hasn't officially committed yet, but it seems like Tennessee is pretty much a lock for him.
What about Jack Luttrell and Caleb Perry? Those two names get you excited this weekend when they committed?
I don't know much about them. Please tell me more.
Well, Caleb Perry is a three-star linebacker.
Okay.
A member of the 2022 class, and he committed to Tennessee this weekend from Kentucky, a top 80 linebacker in the composite rankings top 850 nationally. So, you know, not the best ratings-wise. His offers list included Tennessee, Cincinnati, Purdue, Boston College, Bowling Green. Doesn't get you super excited. No.
It's okay, though.
But, you know, he's a guy that our coaching staff certainly sees something in. So he committed over the weekend, 6'3", 215, Georgetown, Kentucky native. But then Caleb Perry, a couple hours later, committed as well. Or, excuse me, I just said Caleb Perry. my bad. Jack Luttrell, the safety, committed a couple hours later from Georgia, from Dacula, Georgia. Is that how you say that?
What is it?
Dacula?
Daculate?
Dacula? Is that
Dacula?
It?
Maybe.
I don't know.
How's it spelled?
It's a cool name. D-A-C-U-L-A.
Dacula, Georgia.
Dacula, Georgia. Well, he committed over the weekend as well. He's a 2023 guy from Hebron Christian Academy. 6 foot, 172. And an offer list that was already starting to grow. Tennessee, Georgia Tech, Arkansas, Notre Dame. And he's a guy that I imagine at one point, or at some point or another before he gets here, is a pretty good candidate to pick up a fourth star. Texas A&M was also in on the safety. And he's the guy that excites me. Does not look like a college player, I'll tell you. I mean, he's a ginger, but that's pretty exciting. Have a ginger safety in there.
You know, hey, I like it.
Throw
also,
some forearm shivers.
A lot of these defensive backs, four-star cornerback Austin Osberry, Tennessee, has made his list. He got an official offer. Competing with his hometown school of LSU, though, he is a Baton Rouge native out of University Laboratory School in Baton Rouge, 6 foot, 185 pounds. Also, four-star athlete Cody Jones from Germantown, Tennessee. He's been committed to Michigan, but Tennessee has popped up on his radar as well, 5 foot, 11, 175 pounds. Those are just some of the names. And then also running back Dylan Simpson is another name to look out for as Tennessee extends its offers for the 2022 class. So, big names and a lot of, you know, a lot of great prospects that Heupel is going after. Seems like a lot of these guys, Tennessee may be the choice for them, but a lot you are competing with some other big schools. And the thing we look at most is the offers that they have. And most of those guys that I just announced, most of their offers are from all SEC schools, Georgia, the Alabamas, the Auburns, LSU. So that is great.
I mean, at the end of the day, look, this is not going to be a great class. That's just the way it is. But you're going to get some good players mixed in there, and you're going to get some players that their traits that stood out to you that you liked.
Mm-hmm.
That when you scouted them, you know, there's something that drew you towards these players. A lot of, not the high, I mean, guys that like won't be the highest rated guys on the planet, but guys that'll give you a chance to at least, you know, be able to develop them and try to build your program with that development. Probably going to end up in like the 10 to 15 range, maybe just outside the top 15, but I would guess maybe the 10 to 15 range.
Not bad for a first-year head coach.
I mean, not where you want to be. Not great.
Not bad, but not great.
I mean, with Tennessee, that's just like, even if you're not a good recruiter, you're probably going to end up around 15. So,
I like it.
Heupel will have a lot to prove in the 2023 class when you get a year under your belt and – you are out of the sanctions after that because we're assuming it'll only be a one-year thing. That is when, if we don't see him start pushing for top 10 classes and it's in 20 by 2023, I would be a little bit worried about his recruiting.
Did we get some confirmation on some stars over there?
Yeah, it's just a couple of players that were already committed that you said were, you know, we're thinking about it. Vincent Snead is
he has committed.
Yeah, he's a hard commit according to 247. And then there was another name you said that I can't remember the name of it, but they're also
committed.
Well, the first
one, they're also committed.
Was it Messiah Reddick?
Messiah Reddick, yeah. I did say his name.
He's already committed also.
Okay, great stuff then. Hey, we appreciate the call as well, somebody calling in, letting us know, and the GP3 doing his research over there as well. But above all, like Charlie says, not a great class. You kind of expect him not to really knock it out the park in his first year, likely in recruiting, but I mean, as you go on to year two, year three, if you're not, you know, pushing it to the top 10, you might have some problems.
I mean, even in Butch's first year, Butch was known for having good recruiting classes early. I still think his first year wasn't really all that great. It was a second class where you got the Jalen Hurd and all those high-profile names.
Hey, so that's a little bit of news from the Hill, 865-546-8200. 546-8200 is our number if you want to get on with us. On the other side, let's talk a little Olympics, talk a little Gold Cup, and more. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz. Thank you for tuning in this Monday morning back from the weekend. Chance, Chuck, and GP3. Let's talk a little Tennessee prospects and recruits there. If you missed anything, you can listen to the podcast after we upload that. Hour number one will be uploaded shortly after we get done. But in other news, Olympics still rolling along. As Charlie said earlier, the U.S. women's national team lost today to Canada. They will now, I guess, receive a bronze. They will not get to play in the Gold Cup. I mean, not Gold Cup, but for the gold medal match.
Or wait, so they played in the semifinals, correct?
I believe so.
When they have to play a bronze medal
so
game.
They,
they still play another game. Okay.
A medal, yeah.
Okay. I knew if they had won, they got to play the gold medal game. So,
so they might not even medal.
They may not.
If they don't medal, we should just start it all over with the U23 team next time around.
No. Tough. Charlie's very tough on this team. Very tough. But the men's national team, they did win the Gold Cup last night off of a header in the second extra time that came. I thought that game was going to go to penalties. I was actually watching that one live. Great match. Great win for the United States. Take knock off Mexico. And what a lot of people didn't give them a big chance to win that.
No. I mean, well, their starting 11 last night was a weird one.
And from what I saw on Twitter, it was more of a B/C team that the U.S. was starting.
Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't have all your guys at all. I mean, nearly all your guys out there last night. But
people
have been calling this, you know, the golden generation of USA soccer is arriving. And
was Pulisic playing, or is he?
They officially arrived.
Yeah.
He was not playing last night.
He's not playing. I know he's the star.
Yeah, he's a star.
But he's playing Premier League as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's their off season for, you know, club teams and stuff. So they're just now getting back into the preseason. But you did it without him somehow. Miles Robinson, just a beautiful header. It felt like from really the 80th minute on, it was just or maybe even like the 70th minute on, it was just a mess of a soccer game. I mean, it was just teams just – both teams just going back and forth with just run after run after run and deflected shot or, you know, over the net or to the left or, you know, incredible save. And the U.S. pulled it out. And that's twice in a row now they've beaten Mexico in finals.
Is that more about the young talent we have or great coaching from Berhalter?
I mean, it's certainly refreshing to see coaching that isn't bad. It's been a while since I feel like we've had coaching of this USA soccer team that doesn't frustrate you. But it's a really, you know, I don't know. If you like soccer, it's an exciting time to be a USA soccer fan. You feel like there's at least some potential here, some promise with, you know, the young stars that you have, the coaching that you have, and then just in general the youth that's been injected into the entire program.
It was a good feeling, wasn't it?
It was nice. I mean, it was really nice. I love seeing America win anything. But soccer, especially when you don't win it as much and just the passion, you know, I mean, like soccer, dislike soccer, I think, you know, we can all come to some sort of respect for the passion that that game has driven, you know, on a world basis. The fans are great. So it was pretty cool to see, you know, in a sport like that, the United States come out on top. I mean, I was with, you know, big group of friends, and we all stopped what we were doing to sit down and watch that soccer game. And, you know, that's not something that I ever find myself doing much, is stopping to watch soccer.
No, it was a good match. I watched it, too. Like I said, I was sitting with some friends as well, and we were even talking about, hey, this is going to go to penalty kicks. You get to the first extra time, and then the second extra time, you got the header to go ahead and seal the deal. So
still, after we got that header and after we celebrated Mexico got some good looks. I was getting nervous there for a minute.
They did. So, but that was good. Did you get a chance to watch a GP3?
I watched the first half, and then I got tired and went
to bed.
Soccer
can do that to you.
Yeah. I mean, ooh. I'm not a big soccer person at first, but, like, I'll always sit down and watch the national teams play if they're on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I kept waking up because of my hand last night. I had trouble sleeping. And I did see that we won in the 17th minute, like our 117th minute. I was checking Twitter and saw that we scored and saw the header. And it was a nice, I guess it was from a free kick. Nice play and a good win, but I didn't get to watch it live. I watched the first half, though.
Yeah, it was a good match, though. Shout out to the men's national team doing work. In other news, in the Olympics, you guys been watching that still?
I watched some more water polo.
USA basketball is coming along. They found their stride.
I've been watching. I watched the entire final round of Olympic
golf. You're a big
golf.
Olympic guy. I know you've been watching.
Like, the Olympic golf was great.
Xander Schauffele.
You already brought up basketball, so let's talk basketball, and then I will tell you about the madness that was golf.
All right. Charlie's Olympic update starts now.
No, I said you just brought up basketball. I said let's go ahead and talk your basketball.
I think the basketball team, they've hit their stride.
Yeah, they play Spain.
I thought you had more to it.
I'm just saying, like, we were all kind of fretting early, like, what is wrong with this team? What are they doing? But they have kind of hit their stride, and that's kind of probably all they needed.
Have they?
Luka's been out there dominating too for Slovenia.
Have they, like, full on hit their stride, you think, or are they just in a better place than they were?
Maybe not full on, but better place they were. They play, as GP3 just said, they play Spain in the quarterfinals.
It's the quarterfinals?
Yeah, they're in the quarterfinals.
I can't.
Now. Well, it's because we lost to France, and then Spain lost to Slovenia. So we match up, I guess, in like a loser's bracket somehow.
I think they did a draw.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, the top two from each group advance into the knockout stage, and then they just randomly draw first-round matchups. So we ended up with Spain, even though both of us finished second. We play at 12:40 a.m. tomorrow. Is that after midnight then?
Yeah, so that would be 12:40 in, like,
so tonight, 40 minutes after tonight? I'm trying to figure out, is it like...
what is the exact time? Is it...
12:40 a.m. tomorrow.
I'm sorry, I'm over here cracking up because he says, is that after midnight?
Well, no, I'm just like, it's after midnight tonight then, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not, so, okay.
So if you stay up past midnight tonight.
So at 12:40 a.m., I can watch the Americans play the Spanish.
Who they're 16-2 all time against.
But, okay. I think I understand it now. I think I do.
Does Ricky Rubio play for that team?
I don't know.
He might. I know that the Gasol brothers do.
You were going to get every name on the Spanish roster.
Okay.
Sergio Llull, Victor Claver, Willie Herman Gomez,
yeah.
Sergio Rodriguez, Alex Abrines, Mark Gasol, Alberto El Balde, Xavier Lopez Estragoguli, Paul Gasol, Ricky Rubio.
Why did you say Paul Gasol's name so
Paul?
Funny? Like, you know who that is.
No, I think my tongue got stuck in the back of my throat there from the Xavier Lopez Estragoguli. Paul Gasol, Ricky Rubio, Usman Garuba, and Rudy Fernandez.
Rudy Fernandez.
Gotta watch out for Rudy.
Gomez, a lot of names.
That's a pretty solid team.
Yeah, Ricky Rubio.
That's another one of those. Yeah, so Ricky Rubio on that team. That's another one of those teams, though, that they are really familiar with playing together. And they're better equipped to play FIBA-style basketball. So that worries me.
Gasol brothers, too.
And like you said, the rankings are kind of weird because the brackets for the quarterfinals are pretty unusual, as I'm following along here at ESPN. Number one plays number two in the USA-Spain contest. Number three plays number four in Australia Argentina, and then the other matchups are by world ranking. Number seven, France, gets number 10, Italy, and number 16,
Slovenia. So it wasn't a draw.
No, number 16, Slovenia, against number 17, Germany. Very unusual.
Wait, hold up. So China and Belgium both didn't make it to the bracket?
I guess not.
How? They finished first and second in Group D.
I just, I don't know.
I don't understand this at all.
These rankings and these brackets are very weird.
And France finished third in Group B?
Yeah.
What on earth? I don't know. Does anyone out there know how this works better? Can you call in and tell me?
We need some splaining.
I need some splaining, yeah. Now I don't know. I felt pretty confident that I did know until I don't know.
I'm very confused.
Italy and France play tomorrow, or I guess this morning. Tomorrow, I don't know. Do I call it tomorrow or do I call it tonight? Because it'll still be my tonight. Like, I won't go to bed before 12:40.
It's technically tomorrow, though.
Okay, so tomorrow at 4:20 in the morning, Italy plays France.
Mm-hmm.
Today at 9 p.m., Luca and Slovenia play Germany. Tomorrow at 12:40 in the morning, we play Spain. We play Spain. And tomorrow at 8 a.m., Australia and Argentina play. So that's where we're at in basketball. In women's basketball, they're about to enter into the group stage.
Yeah, they're
advanced, or the knockout stage.
They're advanced to the quarterfinals as well.
Is the 3v3 basketball done?
Yes,
we won gold. Oh.
See, they did. The one thing they're also not doing, they're not explaining where we're at in the events at all on NBC. They'll show you a game, and you don't know if you're in the group stage or they're playing for a gold medal.
Don't know.
I was watching a volleyball game, and I thought it was the group stage. And the broadcast, I swear, for like the last 30 minutes didn't mention the gold medal part of it once. And then all of a sudden, they were just celebrating. I was like, oh, they must be really excited. Like, they must have advanced out of the group stage. And then they're like, gold medal has been won. And I was, the production quality is so bad. So bad, NBC. It's the Olympics. How do you mess that up?
They have been pretty bad. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 is our number.
I guess I'll tell you about golf on the other side.
Yeah, on the other side, we'll talk about golf. Also, some more new news for the gymnastics side. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. This is The Blitz. Welcome back to The Blitz.
So scared that one day my mic's going to
get
turned on.
Yeah, it's
going to
be on. And you're going to be singing. And everybody's going to hear the sultry sounds of Charlotte Collier. Hey, wrapping up hour number one here. Let's go ahead and get to some Olympic golf. Charlie has an update for us there. But before we do get there, looks like Simone Biles clearing her head. She's coming back to compete in the beam final. So the GOAT of gymnastics, for all you haters, all you critics, she is going to participate in the beam final after withdrawing from the all-around competition and three event finals. She will be competing in Tuesday's balance beam final at the Games. She confirmed that with a tweet today.
Hey, shout out to
she had been experiencing
all
the
other U.S. Olympic.
Yeah, doing a good job.
All the other Olympic U.S. gymnasts.
Jade Carey.
Gymnasts, there we go.
I watched a little bit of it last night.
Jade Carey, she won the gold in the floor exercise.
I was watching the uneven bars last night.
I like the uneven bars. Yeah. It's one of my favorite ones.
See, I was telling my fiance last night, I grew up around gymnastics.
I thought you were going to say, I grew up doing uneven bars.
No, my mom was a gymnast. My sister was a gymnast.
Oh, nice.
My cousin was a gymnast. I grew up going to gymnastic meets all the time. So I'm kind of sick of gymnastics, but I know what I'm looking for when I watch it.
I've always dated a bunch of gymnasts. Does that count?
Did you have to go to meets and sit there for six hours every Saturday?
No. By the time I guess I was dating them, there was more like cheerleading competitions and things like that. But that's still a lot of gymnastics. But they were all gymnast histories, like, you know, did gymnastics all their life and all that stuff. But I never went to a gymnastics meet, though.
You're lucky.
Yeah, well, I mean,
pretty boring.
Extremely boring. Because they only go, like, I mean, there's four events, but I mean, it's like a minute on each event. So you're there for 6 hours, and you get about 5 minutes total
that you watch.
Yeah,
yeah, but yes, like Suni Lee, for example. I mean, just a lot of young stars emerging.
Very true.
But golf got crazy. Golf was absurd. So Xander Schauffele ended up winning the gold medal. Shout out America.
Shout out
Xander Schauffele. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
But Sabatini, crazy. He went absolutely absurd. Rory Sabatini set an Olympic record with a 61 in the final round with two bogeys.
A 61?
With two bogeys. If he would have just parred the two holes he bogeyed, he would have been in the 50s. I mean, he put together one of the greatest rounds of golf I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, a lot of people are rooting against him because he shouldn't really be playing for Slovenia. I think it was Slovenia, right? Yes.
A 61. Wow, impressive.
He's from Durban, South Africa, and then lived in Florida, but he married a Slavic woman. And
got dual citizenship, huh?
They reached out to him and were like, hey, we want to make you the face of golf in our country. We're trying to grow the game. We only have 26 registered courses, and, you know, we don't have a lot of golfers or whatever else. We really want to get golf big on our sport, and we want to make you the face of this country. This country will fall in love with you. And he went 10 under. I mean, that's just absurd. 10 under to force a playoff with Xander Schauffele. And Schauffele just nailed a long putt to finally come back and or I guess not come back, but finally just win that gold medal. He was running away with it for a while until Sabatini just went stupid. And then the bronze was very complicated.
Wasn't there like a 7-way tie for
yeah,
third?
And honestly, it was weird. Like, they had to then do, I think, like a 7-man playoff.
Yeah.
For the bronze, which it's got to be a weird feeling being like in a playoff for third place, since, you know, none of those golfers have ever done that before for the most part. The Olympic golf, though, was a ton of fun. The Olympic golf might be one of my favorite events in the Olympics. It ended really late. I had to stay up really late to watch it, but shout out Xander Schauffele getting the gold medal for America.
USA, USA, continuing to get it done at the Olympics, what we love to 61 see.
61 with two bogeys. How That's is nasty. That even possible?
That's nasty. I wish.
It's my dream.
I wish. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 is our number. If you want to get in on the action in hour number two, hour number one's in the book. Hour number two on deck. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio.
Don't criticize it.